Okay, so this is our first installment of the official boot camp. And the way I envision the next few weeks going are as follows. In a short amount of time, it's really hard to do justice to Bishel. You could ask Adam. He's sat through some of the halacha shirim. We generally spend a long time going through an area, starting with the Gemara, going through the Rishonim, and ultimately ending with the poskim. But since there was an express interest in getting to the bottom line in Hilchos Shabbos, so I'm going to try to present it in that way. Try to deal with issues from the back going forward, instead of going from the front towards the back, meaning instead of starting with the Gemara and proceeding to Halacha Maisa, we'll start with a question. I'll try to deal with some real questions that I've gotten from guys in Yeshiva, questions I've gotten from elsewhere, and we'll try to analyze it going backwards and at least deal with very practical issues. And if there are specific things that you'd like to address, you let me know, and I'm happy to do that as well. Right, I think it's kedai to start in a general way with the Hakdama, the introduction of the Mishneh Berurah to his Chelek Gimel. In general, the Mishneh Berurah is a very nice Hakdama to his entire work, to the Mishneh Berurah at large, but in particular, the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, Chelek Gimel, he has a lot to say about the importance of learning Hilchos Shabbos. And towards the end of that Hakdama, he writes the following.
Do we have access to that Hakdama?
Do you have access to it? Well, if you have a Chelek Gimel, then you have access to it. If you don't have a Chelek Gimel, I'll be reading it aloud. Okay. So, towards the end, in this particular edition, it's like three paragraphs from the end, but I think in the more traditional layout, it's closer to the end. So the Mishneh Berurah writes that people in general are somewhat reluctant or intimidated by learning Hilchos Shabbos. And he says that really it's very important to learn Hilchos Shabbos because it's impossible to keep Hilchos Shabbos without learning it. And why is it that he says people refrain from learning Hilchos Shabbos? Hinei achas me'asivos asher yimona leha'ulam Hayidia b'Hilchos Shabbos who neisha alocha chamur himod v'i afshar lahavina heitev mitoch haShulchan Aruch im lo shiyeda mitchila mekori hadin migmora poskim. It's very hard for someone to go through the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim and to get halach lemaisa. It's kind of dry. It's kind of boring and somewhat intimidating. There's a lot. There's a lot of Lamates Malachos, a lot of subdivisions in the Malachos. So unless a person is really going to be able to go through the Gemara and the Rishonim and then ultimately the Poskim and know how to Poskim. Come. You guys come around this way. Come sit. There's chairs here. Thank you. The average person just doesn't have the time that's necessary. Imagine that if you wanted to know, you guys were learning Maseches Brachos this year. Imagine if you want to know what bracha to make on an apple, you'd have to start going through the Gemara, going through the Rishonim, and then decide, okay, it says in Shulchan Aruch, then you make a ha'etz. And every time you encountered a food or fruit, you'd have to figure out what bracha to make. Okay, you can sit over here, ladies over here, some ladies over here. Okay? So it's the same thing with Hilchos Shabbos. Imagine that every week when you confront Shabbos, you want to know, can you do this, can you not do this? You have to sit down with the Gemara, with the Rishonim, with the Shulchan Aruch, with all the Nosei Kelim, and then figure out what the halacha is. You can spend all Shabbos just going through one question. He says that's a big reason why people are afraid, in some regard, from Hilchos Shabbos. People just don't have the time to do it. There are different opinions. In the same way that I waxed eloquently at the beginning of my work, in the Hakdama to Chelek Aleph, Ayin Sham, because that's what he says in general about the importance of him writing the Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah really did that for us. The Mishneh Berurah took the sugya, as it were, and really laid it out. Right? Gave us a consolidated presentation of all the Nosei Kelim. Gam Yivur Gatbo Maskanos HaAchronim. I'm sorry, skip. Lazos Kamti, he says, for this reason, I was inspired. V'nisorarti Bez Hashem Yisparach Levar Gam Halachazu HaChamura, the area of Hilchos Shabbos. called Din V'Din B'Taimo V'Nimuka Migmora Poskim. It says, I'm going to go through all of Hilcha Shabbos. Gam Yivurbo Maskanos Ha'achronim L'Alacha, the conclusions, Halach L'Maisa, on every Prat Shenechluku Bo Poskim HaKodnim. Gam B'Kam Makomos HaChamurim, like the Simonim that he enumerates, he made a Hakdama Psicha to each one of those Simonim, so that a person will find it easy. L'Havin Divri HaShulchan Aruch. And he says, in many of the Avos Malachos, Likatati Es HaSharashim Divri Rambam, Bashari Rishonim, Kedei Sheyeda Halacha Alburiya. And he hopes, I'm skipping a little bit, he says, yeah, I hope, Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, Shemisha Yilmod Ata Halacha, people who will learn the Halacha, through his Sefer, Yeda Kol Din B'taymu V'nimukul Halacha L'maisa. And now, Ro'i V'nachem, V'ro'i V'nachem, L'chol Yorei V'charid L'dvar Hashem, every God-fearing Jew should find it within himself or herself, L'chonin Chaburos Lilmod Hilchos Shabbos. They should prepare groups, chaburas, in which to learn Hilchos Shabbos. So it's very appropriate that many of you have decided to do that very thing, to get together to learn Hilchos Shabbos. And the Shabbos says that is the only way that people will be able to learn Hilchos Shabbos, to know Hilchos Shabbos, is by doing that, by getting together and learning Hilchos Shabbos. Ukedita b'yalkut reish parshas v'yakel, omelar kodesh baruch l'moshe, asey lecha kehilos gedolos, udrosh lefneim barabim Hilchos Shabbos, v'yadua sheshmir Shabbos ketikunahu, Kiruv L'Geula, as it says, Chazal tell us, Il Moli Shomer Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Miad Hayu Nigolin Shenemar V'Kula. So Mishnah Berurah here, I'm just giving you a little bit of what he says about the importance of learning Hilchos Shabbos, but the point is that without learning Hilchos Shabbos, you can't know Hilchos Shabbos. And like anything else, if you are new to it, if you're new to the discipline, if you're new to discussion, it seems a little bit overwhelming. But once we go through the principles, through the Yisodos, like any other area of halacha, you have the principles, you have the main tools to answer most questions that come up. At least you know what the questions are. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to deal in very broad strokes. We're going to try to deal with categories that come up time and time again. So at least when we confront them, we know what's a question. We're not going to know necessarily all of Hilchos Shabbos, but we'll know basic things that will at least give us an indication of this is a question, it's not a question, or maybe in some cases we'll know the answer to the question. So it came up the other night, and as I mentioned, it's come up many times before. A lot of people like to make coffee on Shabbos, or in general, they like to make coffee using what's referred to as a filter, not a French press. We'll get French press, we might talk about tangentially, but pour over coffee or a funnel, right? We've seen the cone. People refer to them in different ways, but basically, what it looks like is a plastic funnel that you put over a cup. And you stick a paper filter in that plastic cone, and then you pour the ground up coffee into the paper. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm guessing everyone here knows what I'm talking about. Put the grinds in the paper, and then you pour water onto the paper, goes through the paper and through the cone into your cup. Yes, pour over coffee, sometimes referred to as filter coffee. In Eretz Yisrael, they have, I don't know if they still have, they have what they call cafe filter, which had the coffee somehow in the filter pack. You'd pour the hot water through the pre-packed paper filter. Cafe filter, you can ask Safta about cafe filter. I'm sure she'll tell you that her Turkish coffee is much better, but I'm sure people are familiar with that. Okay, so the question is this something that we could enjoy on Shabbos or not, and what are the issues? So when you mention this to people, very often the immediate reaction is, oh no, this is, you can't have that. How could you do that? And when I heard guys talking about it the other night, I think they hit on all of the key points. What are some of the issues that you think are applicable? You don't have to tell me what the answer is, but what are the issues that you have to address when answering this question? Yeah.
Whether you're cooking the grounds.
Okay.
Bora.
Okay, good. Bora. Oh, you were one of the guys still having the discussion, right?
No, I just heard someone else. Oh, wait. I heard someone else say that. I was one of the guys listening to the conversation.
So I think those are the two issues. As soon as people hear about this particular setup, those are the two issues that you automatically identify as being present. There's a potential for Bishul, and there's a potential for Borer. So let's deal with Bishul first, and then we'll move over to Borer, okay? And before we open up to the Shulchan Aruch, I'll start with the Gemara. Really, it's a Mishnah. And this Mishnah is very fundamental to everything else that we're going to discuss. It's a Mishnah on Membeis Amun Aleph. You have a question on the Mishnah? I didn't read it yet. Give me 2 minutes, I'll take a question. Okay. Membeis Amun Aleph. The Mishnah says the following. Ha'ilfas v'hakadera sheheviron meroschen lo yitain l'solchan tavlin. Can't put spices into a pot of varying sizes, right? Ilfas and yora and kadera, rather, are different types of pots that are taken off of the fire. You can't put tavlin into the pot. Aval nosin hu l'tocha ka'ara o l'tocha tamchoi. But you could put spices, you could put tavlin into a ka'ara. What's a ka'ara?
A bowl.
Bowl, very good. Not a plate, even though people always say seder ka'ara, seder plate. We've spoken about that, right? Ka'ara is really a bowl. And if you look at illustrated Haggadahs,
yeah,
as everyone I'm sure does, you'll see that in old Haggadahs from the Middle Ages, it was always something rounded. It was a basket of some sort. It was not a flat plate. If it wasn't directly on the table, it was in some type of rounded kli, not a flat plate. Okay, that's a later invention, it would appear. Olatocha tamchoi, that is some form of plate. So what's the difference between the first set of kelim and the second set of kelim? Ha'ilfas v'hakadera sheheviron miroschen, different types of pots that were removed from the fire. You cannot put tavlin, can't put spices into that, to those pots, into those kelim. But nosin hu l'tocha ka'ara o l'tocha tamchoi, but into bowls and plates you could put spices and other things. Great. So these are very important terms. The first set of kelim are what we refer to as kli rishon. Kli rishon, you see from the Mishnah, is not only when it's on the fire. It's not only when it's on the fire. Because the Mishnah specifies over here, Sheheviron miroschen. What does it mean, Sheheviron miroschen? It means you took them off the fire. Took them off the fire. They're not on the fire anymore. And yet, they're still called, in our parlance, they're still called the kli rishon. We'll see for how long. And in those kelim that we consider kli rishon, you cannot put other foodstuffs.
Just, you're saying that it's not the Gemara's pile?
All right, but the second thing that you see here is that a kli sheni, what we call a kli sheni, is not technically a kli in which bishul can take place, because we're told that which you can't put in a kli rishon, you can't put it into the pot off the fire. I could put it into this next stage in the process. I could put it into the ka'ara or the tamchoi. Is that clear? So we're introducing now two terms. Kli rishon, kli sheni. Kli rishon is the pot or the vessel in which the food was heated, and it retains that status as long as the food in it, or as long as the pot itself, is yad soledes. As long as it's yad soledes, we're going to use that term advisedly for now. We're not going to define how hot is yad soledes. That's a separate discussion. But as long as it's yad soledes, literally yad soledes means the temperature at which you would recoil, right? When you would touch it, you would grab away your hand because it's too hot to leave your hand there. So that's kli rishon. Kli sheni, the second kli, when you empty the food from the pot, you put it into a bowl, you put it into a plate. Over there, the Mishnah says, okay, there you could already begin to put things, and we're not concerned with bishul. Kli rishon, kli sheni. Let me just say another two words about kli sheni, and then I'll take some questions. There is a machlokas in the Rishon, and this is not so much halacha l'maisa, but it's kedai to be aware of. There is a machlokas in the Rishon as to what the chiddush, if you will, of kli sheni is. Why is it that you're allowed to put stuff into a kli sheni? Let's say it's just as hot as it was a second ago. Let's say I took the food out of the kli rishon and I put in a kli sheni. What's so special about a kli sheni? So there are two approaches in the Rishonim, and even in the Achronim, as to what's so special about a kli sheni. The first is, I think we would say, somewhat intuitive, and this is what we'd call metzias-based. And the metzias being that when you take food from a hot kli, that's hot, where the food has been cooked and it's constantly sitting in its own heat, so there's an intense heat there. When you take food from that pot and you put it in something from the cupboard that's been empty, what happens?
It cools down.
And that's the lashon of Tosos. Tosos say that the kli sheni, the phanos, the walls of the kli sheni are makaros. The lashon of Tosos again is that the phanos of the kli are Makaros. I'll read you the Lashon of the Mishnah of the Tosos. This is Tosos on Daf Mem Amud Beis. This is an important Yisod. Mem Amud Beis. V'shma mino klisheni eno mevashel. In the middle of the Tosos, by Tosos right, aval klisheni, af al gav diyad soletisbo mutter. Food can be still as hot as it was a second ago. You took it out of the Kli Rishon, still yad soletis. What happens? You take it and you put it into this bowl or this plate. What's so unique? Dofnosav cham. I'm sorry. She'ein dofnosav chamin v'holechum is karer. The metzias is that you put hot stuff in an empty vessel that's been sitting around. What happens? It begins to cool off what you put into it. So therefore, bishul cannot take place there. Sometimes you go to a catering facility, a restaurant, or something similar, and what happens? They serve soup. Do you ever notice that sometimes you get your bowl and it's already hot?
Yeah.
No, it's hot.
Already hot.
They preheat the bowls. They preheat the bowls before they put the soup in. Why? Because they understand it's not right. Has anyone ever experienced that?
Yeah.
You're a fancy guy. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. That's Tosos' approach. There are other Rishonim that say that as well. Another approach is more technical, and we'll just call that it's a din. What do I mean when I say it's a din? It's not a metzias. The first approach, the first gisha for Matt, is that of Tosfos. It's metziuti. It's a metzias, right? It's simply the case that scientifically klisheni is makara, the contents that are put in there, and therefore bishul doesn't take place there. So if I'll now add to food that was put in there from a Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni, it's not going to be mevashel. It's not going to cook. The other approach is found in the Or Sameach. I think we may have discussed this Or Sameach earlier in the year. Right? The Or Sameach is found. I'll take questions in one more minute. I'm just going to get to a semicolon and I'll take all the questions. The Or Sameach is found in Perek Tes Halacha Beis and Halacha Shabbos. Perek Tes Halacha Beis. And what the Or Sameach explains is as follows, that when you go through the Mishnayos and the Gemara, you find that bishul is usur in certain environments. Bishul is usur in the chama, I'm sorry, in or. You can't cook in fire, and you can't cook in what's called toldas or. You can't cook in something that was heated by fire. So you can't cook in fire, and you can't cook in something that was heated by fire. But what about something that's so far removed, it's so attenuated, that we would call it a tolda of a tolda? Right? This environment, this pot, this plate, this dish, this bowl, this wasn't heated. This is not fire. It's not on the fire. It wasn't heated by fire. This was heated by something that was heated by the fire. So he says, that's not called an environment of bishul. We're not koshesh for bishul. It's a halachic reality. It's not a reality like the metzias that it cools down, because in both cases we're talking about even something that's yad soledes. It could even be yad soledes practically, right? It could even be something that's yad soledes. Tosos say. So what's so special about klisheni? Well, one approach is that it's simply the metzias. This is going to cool down, and therefore, when I put a new substance in there, bishul can't take place. And the other approach is, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be cooling down. This is not the environment that we treat as the environment of bishul. It's a din. It's a halachic reality. Okay, that's Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. Let's take some questions. Kli Rishon, Adam's asking a good question. Kli Rishon is a halachic status. So it's not the pot by virtue of the fact that it was on the fire with the food being cooked there alone, because then we would always call it a Kli Rishon. It's a function of where it came from and the temperature that it is now. So if you took it off the fire, shehavir miroskin, as long as it's yad soledes. But if you let it to cool down to below yad soledes, then we no longer treat it like a Kli Rishon. Okay? Yes. So what guys are asking, in not so many words, is, well, what about where it doesn't cool down? What about where the metzias is, that it's so hot that it is going to cook? Those are issues, but they're a little bit beyond the purview of our discussion. If we have time, or maybe another time, we'll come back to that. But there are those cases, there are those achronim, that are machmir when something is super hot. It's called yad nichves. Yad nichves is beyond yad soledes. Yad soledes means you recoil. Yad nichves means your hand would get scalded. Or take the case of the preheated bowl. If you have a preheated bowl, maybe you shouldn't say that I get to use the kula of Tosos, because it's not Tefanos Makaros anymore. What do you mean? It's hot. It's independently hot.
So that
might be an Afkamina, right?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right? Okay, so let's leave that for now. For now, we're assuming that a Klisheni, either for the reason of the Tosafos or for the reason of the Arsameach and others, is not going to be Mavashal. So we have Klirishon, yes Mavashal, Klisheni, not Mavashal. This is right out of the Mishnah. So far, so good? Okay. Should we open the door? Is it very hot in here?
No.
You good?
It is very hot.
Anything we could do to make it more comfortable?
I feel very comfortable.
Wow.
I'm fine.
You guys are fine?
You're talking a lot more than us.
No, it's hot. It's hot, right? It's hot. Yeah. Okay.
So Tosfos is maybe generalizing. He's saying, in general, it's not going to happen. Bishul's not going to happen. So
I don't know. He doesn't use the word in general. This is what he says.
He says, it does not happen.
Right. Klisheni af al gav diyad. So let's spell mutter she'ein dofnosav chaman v'holei chumuskar.
It doesn't happen.
That's what's happening. Right. Okay. It's cooling down. All right. So now we have Klirishon, Klisheni, and we explained a little bit about the lomdus of Klisheni. Let's move on now. Let's go back to our case. What's our case? We have this cone on top of a cup. The paper filter and the ground up coffee thing inside the paper filter, and you're going to somehow put water into the cup. What would it be called? Counting on your mat, okay? What would it be called? I could sense that you know this. What would it be called if I took the cup with the coffee grinds and I went over to my kumkum and I put the water over the grinds and let it drip through the filter into my cup? What would we call that?
Klirishon.
What's that?
Klirishon.
I would call that Klirishon?
Yeah, because you're pouring the water from the kumkum directly onto the kumkum.
Yeah,
Klirishon.
Well, you're not putting the water into the coffee.
The hot water from the Klirishon onto the coffee grounds.
It is a cool cup. It is a cool cup.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but the cooking is not happening in the cup.
Let me rephrase the question.
Everyone would agree that if I put the water into the cup first, right?
Klisheni, yeah.
That way I would have a klisheni now, right?
Yeah.
What?
You put the water into the cup, you're gonna
put the water into the cup first, yeah. And then I would add the grinds, which say, yeah, the klisheni.
Oh, because it wasn't... Yeah, okay. That's
no, the pot is my klirishon. By the way, klirishon doesn't only have to be a traditional pot. Anything that you use to be mechamim food is going to be a klirishon. So it could be a pump pot, it could be an old-fashioned urn, it could be a kettle, it could be a crock pot. All those things are considered klirishon. It's on the fire, or the equivalent of fire, electric, gas, doesn't matter. That's your heating source. What you have there is a klirishon. So if I take the water and I put in an empty cup, what's my cup?
Klisheni.
Everyone agrees. Klisheni, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what we said. Take it from the thing and you put it in the cup or the bowl or the plate. That's a klisheni.
Yeah.
But now we're changing the facts. We're saying, no, you're not putting it directly in the... I'll make it even easier. Let's say I put the coffee grounds in the cup first. Empty cup. And now I pour the water on the coffee grounds in my cup.
Wait, can I ask you something? Is the urn... Why isn't
that... Because it's food that can be...
So we have a rule. We have a concept known as iroi. Iroi means pouring. Now... I think, Adam, you sensed that there was a difference before, right? That there's a difference between putting the water directly into the kli, where the kli is empty, and the water starts to cool down because of the walls of the kli, or because of the arsameach reason, right? But if I have food in there already, and now I pour the water or the other hot liquid directly on my food, so now I'm not necessarily getting the benefit of klisheni. Right, the grinds are suspended over here someplace. I'm pouring the water, and now, yes, the finished product is winding up in a new cup. But where did the mixture happen? It didn't necessarily happen in the klisheni. So this is what we call iroi klirishon. Iroi klirishon means I pour from my klirishon on top of something that's in a klisheni, or the equivalent of a klisheni.
Yeah.
It's important to appreciate, right? I want to make sure everyone understands what I'm trying to explain. Does everyone understand?
Kli 1.5.
It's something between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni, right? Because I poured onto the food.
But why would there be a question then of whether the cup...
Our case, we have Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and now we have this interim state or situation of Iroi Kli Rishon. Now, there is a Machlokas in the Rishonim, Machlokas that is mentioned by Tosos, Membez, Amud Bez, Dibur Hamaschio... Aval. It is, of course, the longest Tosos on the page. basically, Tosos brings here a machlokes between the Ri and the Rashbam. The Rashbam, he writes, says, Rabbeinu Shmuel mevi raya di iroi kiklisheni. The Rashbam holds that iroi klirishon, it's just like a klisheni. It's not a klirishon anymore. It's not a klirishon anymore. It's like a klisheni. That's the Rashbam's opinion. The Ri's opinion says, no, iroi kiklirishon. No, it's like the kli that it came from. It's not like the kli that it's going into. It's like the kli that it came from. So, Tosafos are machria over here with a pshara. And what's the pshara? The pshara is that iroi kli rishon is mavashel, does cook, but it's somehow not quite like a kli rishon. It's only mavashel kedei klipa. And it only cooks a little bit. Still, you can't do that, but it only cooks a little bit. Let's take a quick look at this together, and then we will move on to the next problem with Kli Sheni. So if you have a Mishnah Berurah handy, let's open up to Simen Shin Yud Ches. Simen Shin Yud Ches, Mishnah Berurah, for example, in Sif Katan Lamed He. Right. Again, we're speaking about Iroi Kli Rishon. Iroi Kli Rishon. Simen Shin Yud Ches. Sif Katan Lamed He. Okay, so this is in the middle of the Shulchan Aruch's discussion here.
In Mishnah Berurah L'machaber.
Mishnah Berurah.
Sorry.
Lamed Hay, still Lamed Hay. Yeah, Medichin also. So you go in a few words. Di Ramasko Medichin also. Demikli Rishon also La'aros alav. When it comes to a Kli Rishon, you can't be Ma'are on something that is not cooked. Why? Di Irui Kli Rishon Umavashal Kede Klipa. Because Irui Kli Rishon has some aspects of Kli Rishon, specifically that it is Mavashal. Okay, but we know, as we mentioned, that Tosos say it's only Mavashal Kedei Klipa. So let's review. We have Kli Rishon. Can't put anything in the Kli Rishon on the fire if it's uncooked. That's Bishel. Off the fire if it's cooked. Am I allowed to do it?
On the fire.
Off the fire, yeah.
On the fire, can't put anything in.
Right.
If it's cooked, I can't put it in. Why not? Mexican Mavashel. If it's uncooked, it's going to get cooked. That's a problem. Off the fire.
100%.
100% what?
If it's cooked,
no problem with Mexican Mavashel. Mexican Mavashel is only on the fire. It's only in the pure Bishel environment.
Yeah.
Uncooked?
Never.
Not while it's Yad Soledis. If it's Yad Soledis, Kli Rishon, no, I cannot put something uncooked into a Kli Rishon. Kli Sheni? Can I put something in a Kli Sheni uncooked?
Yeah.
Yes. Why? Okay. It's machlokes. How to understand Kli Sheni, but it's not mavashel. Kli Sheni is not mavashel. Now, what about pouring from the Kli Rishon onto something in a Kli Sheni uncooked?
Iru.
That's Iru Kli Rishon, and that is a form of Bishel. That is Bishel, and it's Bishel. You still can't do that.
Is that Rabbanah? Or that's right?
It's Mavashal Kedei Klipa.
Why did you call it Kli Rishon?
It's Machlokas. I'm telling you, it's Machlokas in the Rishonim. Some say it is Kli Rishon, some say it's Kli Sheni. And Tosafos say it's not quite a Kli Rishon, but it shmecks of a Kli Rishon. It has aspects of a Kli Rishon. It is Mavashal. It's not like a Kli Sheni that's not Mavashal. It is Mavashal. Just not Mavashal to the full extent that a Kli Rishon will be Mavashal.
What's the not?
Okay, let's hold off on that. That's too fine a distinction to get into now. But it's a fair question, just not for now. Okay, now. So up to this point, we have been led to believe that Kli Sheni is not an environment of cooking, or it doesn't cook. But the truth is, that's not entirely true. Kli Sheni is still subject to Bishel. when it comes to a certain category of items. The Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hey Amud Beis introduces... Yes. Let's see before we get there. The Mishnah says the following. This is a famous Mishnah. Famous Mishnah. Kol Shebo B'chamin Me'erev Shabbos Shomen Oso B'chamin B'Shabbos V'kol Shelo Bo B'chamin Me'erev Shabbos Me'dichen Oso B'chamin B'Shabbos Chutz Min HaMeliach HaYoshan V'kuyas HaEspanin. There are two fish. Dag Meliach, or Meliach HaYoshan, is some type of very salty fish, cured in some way, and Kuyas HaEspanin is also some type of salty fish, but they are both very soft and apparently will be quote unquote cooked very quickly, even in a klisheni. These things will cook even in a klisheni, and we refer to them with this general term of kalei habishal. Kalei habishal, meaning they are easily cooked. They are kal when it comes to bishal. It's easily mivushal with a kuf. Kalei habishal. So if you look at the Mishnah, this Mishnah, seems to limit this category of kalei habishal to these two types of fish. The Mishnah on Amud Beis, adds, it's the same Mishnah that we read earlier, but it's the latter part of the Mishnah. Right, this Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah, which is later down on the Amud, Ein nosin kli tachas anei lekabos haShemen v'im nasnuha mi beodyo mutav ein neos and mena lefi sheino mina muchan. All right, that's totally unrelated to our discussion. Give me 1 second. So, in the Gemara, right before this Mishnah, before the second Mishnah, the Gemara talks about putting salt into the kli sheini. And the Gemara seems to take for granted that putting salt into a kli sheni is going to be a problem, whereas tavlin would not be a problem, because the Mishnah specifically says you can't put tavlin into the kli rishon, you can put it into the kli sheni. And the Gemara goes on to talk about melach, salt, being different. Something about the properties of salt which would allow it to cook up very quickly even in a kli sheni. Now, the poskim discuss whether our salt is like the salt of the Gemara or not. But the point is that there's one other thing that's added to the two fish. You can't use these two fish in a klisheni, and this salt, if it's the same salt or not, separate question, but some form of salt you can't put in a klisheni, also because it cooks up very quickly. But that's it. You won't find anything else mentioned in the Talmud or the Mishnah as being problematic in a klisheni. So let's go back to our case. How about if I take the
coffee.
The coffee, right? The grinds, and I'll put it in the klisheni. I'll put the water, and then I'll put the coffee grinds into the klisheni. Would that be okay? I'm not up to pouring it. I'm saying, let's say I put it directly into the klisheni. Would that be okay?
Is it coffee cooked?
Yes.
What question is
we do
klisheni. It's also klisheni.
Right. I want to make sure I understand this question before we get into the answers. Did everyone understand my question?
Are we assuming that it's already cooked or not cooked?
You take it straight out of the cooked. You take it out of the urn and then you put this coffee in there.
No.
Isn't that that's klisheni?
What you said, took it directly out of the urn? What do you mean?
Into the cup.
Water?
I take water out of the urn into the cup and then put the grinds in there.
Right. According to what we've seen thus far, would that be okay?
Yes.
Why?
No.
Why?
No, it wouldn't be okay.
Because that's cliche.
Oh, because what? Because it makes sense?
No, I said that's exactly what it says. Isn't that like you can... You can't put spices into a bowl that was just on fire.
Kli rishon.
Yeah.
Right?
And then if you take it off, then you can put spices
in. Good. And it's not what? It's not salt. It's not melach, which it's might be fish. Different, and it's not these two types of fish. So nikvisheni, it should be mutter. Yes, is that fair to say at this point? Is that fair to say? Mm-hmm. Let's review. We have kli rishon, no way. Irui kli rishon, still a problem. Kli sheni, what's problematic in a kli sheni? Kali habishol. What's kali habishol thus far? Kuyas ha'ispanin, meliach ha'yashan. You guys serve that ever?
No
one knows about it, right? And some form of melach, some form of salt. Those things would be problematic. It's coffee. Two types of fish.
Weird fish,
yeah.
Can I ask about the fish? Like shearing?
Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah in a very lengthy Siv Katan, I believe it's Lamites in the same simon. Shinyiches Siv Katan Lamites. I believe he mentions three different ways to make tea, which we're not going to discuss tonight. And in that discussion, he mentions the potential problem of tzvia. But we have a general... You could check, please.
There's ain't no tzvia bochum.
What's that?
Right?
But we have a general rule that there's ain't tzvia bochum.
Right.
Ain't tzvia bochum, coloring. Oh. Ain't tzvia bochum, there's no coloring when it comes to food. All right, so here's where the complication comes in with Kali Abishal. It's true that the only things mentioned in this volume, meaning in the Gemara, and I include the Mishnah and the Talmud in that, are the three items that we mentioned. The later authorities were concerned that there might be other things which have similar properties, and that those things should also be considered Kali Abishal. A Chiddush, because the Gemara doesn't mention anything else. Most famously, the Urayim. The Rishon, the Urayim, was choshesh for bread, for pas. Bread, very, very soft, and would cook up very quickly. The Urayim was concerned that pas would cook up in a kli sheni. But you'll ask me, bread is baked. Didn't we say previously, Ariel, that ain bishol achar bishol?
Isn't it two separate things?
Yes, exactly. Bread is not cooked. Bread is edible. It's not raw, but it's baked. Baked is a different property than cooked. When I say ein bishol achar bishol, why do I say that? I say that because whatever bishol did, it's done already. It's not going to change. I'll just add more of it, but it's not going to change inherently in state. It's cooked already. Liquids, on the other hand, by the way, we don't say that. We do say bishol, yesh bishol achar bishol. When I say we, I'm talking about Ashkenazim and Sfarim. It happens to be that the Rambam holds there is no bishol achar bishol on liquid. So if a soup would fully cool down, according to the Rambam, you could heat it up again. So if you're Yemenite, or you otherwise have adopted the Rambam as your posek, ain bishol achar bishol even b'davar lach, right? We know some people like that. Ain bishol achar bishol b'davar lach. But for the rest of the world, the Sfarim and Ashkenazim, there is bishol achar bishol b'davar lach to varying degrees. And we'll hopefully talk about that another time. How hot does it still have to be in order to get around the problem or to avoid the problem of Bishlach or Bishl B'davralach?
What about the regular Sfarim?
But Sfarim, according to regular Sfarim, there is Bishlach, the Mechaber holds there is Bishlach, everyone holds other than the Rambam. So the Mechaber holds that way, it's just the Mechaber's standard is a little stricter than Ashkenazi standard, than the Rambam's standard. But I don't want to confuse everyone. So the Urayim, getting back to the Urayim is worried about bread. You can't put bread in your Klisheni. Why? Because it might be Kali Abishal. So yes, Esti points out that now you have a big problem if you want to put bread into your soup.
I don't understand. How are you cooking the bread in the kli sheni if the walls are uncooked? Hot. Doesn't it need to be in like...
Kali Abishal cooks up even in a kli sheni. That's the whole chiddush of the Kali Abishal.
I need to test it.
What'd you say?
I need to test this out.
You need to test it?
Yeah, I need to...
All right. Good luck with that.
How are you going to know?
Track down a Kulius on a spawn and a Dagmelia.
No, it's already baked.
So, what happens with this uranium? We both say, what happens to this uranium?
The cases where it's not baked, right? The dough is not baked.
No, I specifically said it was baked.
No, it's baked.
So, how are you having how is it getting cooked again?
Because yeesh, bishel achrafia. Didn't you say a minute ago, aren't they separate? Baked is edible, cooked is edible. Right? It makes them edible, but they're different
processes. Yeah, but what else are you cooking? What more are you cooking in the bread?
The bread was never cooked.
You know what? It's
ofa, not bishel.
The bread was never cooked.
Okay, fine. It was baked.
That's right.
So how are you cooking something that's baked?
Yeah.
Because you could change the property of the cake or the cracker or the noodle or whatever, matzah, whatever it is that you're going to put in your klisheni, if you assume that you could expand kaliya bishul, you could say that there is bishul in this object, even though it was baked, because now you're adding a property to it that it didn't have before, through heat. Okay, I'm sorry. The bishul of water. What's the bishul of water? That you heat it up. That's hot, right? When it cools down, it's lost that. So if I heat it up again, that next time I heat it up, I did the same thing I did the first time. That's bishul. It's not like it retained the status of mavushal because it's fully cooled down. Okay, true. Yes. Okay, a liquid, when you have a liquid base, that's called cooking. When you have something that's going to stay a solid, that's baking. Now it's true. When we talk about the lamates melachos, I'm going to try to take everyone's questions. When we talk about the lamates melachos, we use the terms interchangeably, right? The Mishnah says ha'ofa, but we always talk about bishul. Look in the Mishnah, it's ha'ofa. Why? Because we're talking about the bread that was used in the Mishkan for different reasons, right? For the tcheles or lechem apanim, whatever the case is. That bread was used, that's afiyah, but when we talk about something else, we're talking about bishul, but it's the same procedure. But once you get down to the practical aspects of bishul, there is a chiluk between baking and cooking. Yeah, you had a question?
So the whole water base.
Don't confuse this with what's acceptable in the culinary world, because I don't know if there is a distinction between baking and cooking in the same way. I don't know, right? But I think it is. I think it's fair to say. No one would say, well, that's not true. You say you're cooking a roast, right? You're cooking a roast. I understand. You cook a roast, or you're gonna bake bread, you're going to bake a cake, but you can make baked chicken. You do say baked when it comes to certain things, right?
Isn't it called braising?
Roasting and baking.
When braising, I think that's what
it is. What?
No, it's in liquid.
There could be things that have both procedures done to them.
Okay.
There could be something that gets cooked and baked. Then the question becomes, I'm way off topic now. Then the question becomes, well, which one is the koveya? It's cooked and baked. So now what? Does it mean that I can't do either one to it because they both had it? Or do I say no? It was cooked first, and then it was baked, so the finished product is really baked, and therefore it is subject to cooking.
What if
come back. Please, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Membeis. This is another important Mishnah Berurah, where we see how the later poskim dealt with Kali HaBishul. What did they do with the Urayim and his big Chumrah? The Urayim, for those of you that want to track it down, it's in Simon Kuf Beis.
Oh.
Kuf Beis. But you'll take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, and then the Mishnah Berurah is not alone in this. Magen Avraham says the same thing. Mishnah Berurah, Simon Shin Yud Ches, Sifkaten Mem Beis.
Oh, Shin. I have it.
Okay.
The Chumrah was about bread.
Okay. Specifically about bread. That's right. I'll read you first the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is in Seif Hay. Seif Hay. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Misha Omer. Who do you think this Yesh Misha Omer is, if you had to guess?
I was made entry. So
you ran.
Yes. The Tur B'Shem Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, otherwise known as the Urayim, affectionately known as the Urayim. Dover Shene'efes, I think that was baked, or netzle, or roasted. Im Bishlo Acharkach B'mashke, Yesh Bo Mishum Bishlo. V'oser Litein Pas, bread, Afilu B'Klisheni Shayat Soledes Bo. That's the Urayim. Look at the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Membeis. Da'af Al Gav, the Ein Bishlo Achar Bishlo B'Dover Yavesh, even though this seems to defy the rule of Ein Bishlo Achar Bishlo B'Dover Yavesh, and this is not one of the three things that are mentioned as being Kali HaBishlo, neither the two types of fish or this Melach, Mikom Makom, Yesh Bishlo Achar Tzli, Va'afilu Dayin Roseach Machmas Hatzliya, there is Bishlo Achar Tzli, like there's Bishlo Achar Afia. It goes both ways, right? You could have one after the other or the reverse. You know what? I'm sorry. I started a little bit early. I mean, this is all fascinating. It's important, but this is not what I wanted you to see. So, you can take a look at the rest on your own. But look at Membeis. Hosef bezeh din acher. That I was reading from Mem Aleph. I apologize. Oh, okay. I just got so excited I started too far back. Hosef bezeh din acher. He added, the Urim added a new din, meaning the bread-based din. Where does bread-based din come from? It's not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Talmud, not in the Gemara. Why can't you find it? Shin Yudches Sivkat Membeis.
I didn't know it was that loud.
It's okay, it wasn't loud. Shin Yudches Sivkat Membeis. Hosef bezeh din, Mishnah Berurah says, hey, he added a new rule. The bread rule. Where did that rule come from? The Hatam the Svir Leil Deyazu, the Yireim maintains, the Yesh Devarim Shem is Bashim Afil B'Klisheni Mipnei Shehim Rakim, because they're very soft. Because they have Kali HaBishal-like properties. They have the same property, soft and easily cooked. Ve'ein Ano B'Kiyim, this is the key. We don't know, we're not expert enough to be able to distinguish what's Kali HaBishal, what's not Kali HaBishal. Now, others might take the position and say, well, what do you mean? The Mishnah and the Gemara told us what's Kali HaBishal. We don't need to be experts. We just need to know, is this Kali? Maybe you need to know the two types of fish. So you want to err on the side of caution when it comes to fish? Fine. But why introduce bread? So the Mishnah Berurah says, this is the Svarah of the Urim. This is what he actually, Urim writes this in Siman Kuf Beis. Al-Kain Hosev Le'eser Litein Pasa Ofoi Duhu Rochich, that it gets softened. I feel the Klisheni. Vahuhadin, and now the Mishnah Berurah opens up Pandora's box here. Diladeyazu, Yeshlahachmer Nami, Bishar Dvarim, Shalom Nitnon the Klisheni. We don't put other things in a Klisheni either. Now, what does that mean? We don't put other things in a Klisheni. It means anything that we don't know definitively to be not Kali HaBishal, you don't put in a Klisheni. That's the Psak of the Magen Avram, that's the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah.
Wow.
And that's Pesach of many Achronim. When it comes to Klisheni, we are Choshesh for Kali HaBishal. Now again, we're talking only about uncooked foods, uncooked items, or things that were baked. And we're worried about introducing Bishal to something that was baked.
That's
so just from a practical standpoint, this would mean that if you have a Klisheni,
like a soup bowl,
take your coffee and you want to stick a donut in your coffee. I don't know if people still do that. Adam, do they?
So.
You've heard that, right? Policemen do that, right? So that would be a problem, according to this, because it's like the bread. You want to stick your bread in your soup, and your soup was in a klisheni. It's going to be a problem, according to this Mishnah Berurah, according to the Magen Avraham, according to the Urim. So we generally assume that's correct, that the ladle can be a klisheni, which would make your ultimate destination the bowl. A klishlishi.
The ladle gets warm.
But if it hit the bowl?
The ladle's gone. You just take for granted now. We could speak about it more in depth another time. But the matzeket, right? The matzeket, otherwise known as the ladle.
Right.
You guys say that? Yes? Matzeket? The matzeket, matzekes, for the rest of us, would be a separate kli. So picture this. I have my kli rishon. I have my pot. I take it off the fire. It's still hot. That's okay. That's a kli rishon. I take the ladle and I ladle out my soup, and now I put it in, what's this? This is a klisheni. Now I take it and I put it in a bowl, that introduces a new category, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, of klishlishi. One second. Of klishlishi. Now, we haven't seen anyone say it. The Mishnah doesn't talk about klishlishi. The Mishnah only talks about the two pots, and then the kara and the tamchoy, the klisheni. So, be nether tomorrow, we will discuss klishlishi more in depth. But before we end, I want to make sure that we just chazer over everything that we said. I don't mean take as long as we did the first time around, but just chazer over the main points to make sure we're all on the same page so we could pick up here tomorrow. We discussed kli rishon versus kli sheni from the Mishnah. We said that a kli rishon is mavashel. If it's on the fire, you could put nothing into the kli rishon, even if it's cooked already. What about in bishal achav bishal, bedavar yavesh? Doesn't matter because mechzi ki mavashel. That's a rabbinic rule. That's not a biblical rule. Bishol, when you talk about Bishol, you're talking about chatas. You're talking about a biblical violation. Mechzi kemevashel, fully cooked, that's not Bishol. That's rabbinic. You can't take a piece of fully cooked chicken, put it in your pot that's on the fire. Not Bishol, mechzi kemevashel, rabbinic. Klisheni, or kli, let's talk about kli rishon off the fire. What could I put in the kli rishon off the fire? Anything that was cooked already. Ein bishal achar bishal, not a problem. And there's no mechzi kemevashel. What about something uncooked? Nope, that's still a kli rishon. For the purposes of bishal, that's still a kli rishon. You cannot put something uncooked into a kli rishon off the fire. Right out of the Mishnah. Klisheni, As far as the Mishnah is concerned, what could I put in a cliché?
Anything except for those three.
Anything. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, anything. Then we move over to the limitation. Limitation being Kali HaBishel. What's included in Kali HaBishel? Two types of fish, some form of melach. That's it. That's it. Comes along the Ireim and says, also pass. Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah say, yes, we are Choshesh. We are Choshesh for that Ireim. And you know what? It doesn't stop with pas. It includes everything else that might be like that. Anything else, since we're not Bekiyim, we are concerned with the Ireim's chashash that other things might also cook up as Kali HaBishel would. What about that interim step of Irui Kli Rishon, which we mentioned earlier? So Irui Kli Rishon, we said, while it's a machlokish in the Rishon, and whether it cooks like a Kli Rishon or doesn't cook at all like a Kli Sheni, we took a middle approach. Tosos took a middle approach, and the postgame adopt that approach, namely that it cooks kedei klipa. So again, as far as chatas goes, it's still going to cook. It's still going to have problems of bishul. For practical purposes, it does cook. So we're left with the following. Let me just tee it up for tomorrow, and then I'll take questions. I'm happy to stay. I just don't want anyone else to have to stay if they don't want to or they can't. We're up to the following now. We have the Ireim basically taking away our heter of Kli Sheni. Right? We wanted it. We were going to make the coffee in this Kli Sheni. We were all excited to make the grinds in the Kli Sheni. So now, because of the Ireim, we can't do that. So we have two questions. What about Irui Kli Sheni? How about if I would do Irui Kli Sheni? How about I'll take my water from the urn, put it in a cup, one empty cup, and then I'll add it to an empty cup. That's a Kli Sheni. And now I'll put the grinds over here in a second cup, and I'll pour, instead of pouring directly from the urn, I'll pour from this interim Kli, the second Kli in the process. And now I'm not doing Irui Kli Rishon, I'm doing Irui Kli Sheni. What would we say about Irui Kli Sheni? That's question number one. Question number two is, what about Mrs. Goldberg's suggestion that we have something called a Kli Shlishi? What about that? Is that as good as Irui Kli Sheni? Is it better? Is there such a thing at all? And if there is, then obviously Irui Kli Sheni or Kli Shlishi would be easy fixes to our Bishul question when it comes to the coffee grinds. The next thing that we'll hopefully talk about, I'd like to finish it tomorrow so that next week we can move on to something else, is the Borer problem. I won't go into as much detail because we're focusing primarily on Borer.
I'm sorry, on Bishul.
But I do want to at least discuss a little bit the Borer issue, because it's something that people are going to ask you about if you happen to use this device, and you're going to want to be able to explain it and understand it for yourself. So Blinetta will just touch on that a little bit tomorrow. Okay, so we'll stop here, and tomorrow night we'll start 8:45. We'll have a little extra time, and hopefully there'll be enough guys for Marav afterwards. But if not, then you should make other arrangements. Okay. Yes.